Imagination, and we were continuing our discussions on the imagination, and we actually finished in Joshua, the first chapter, and I'll pick up there again so we can expound on that a little more tonight, because that principle that was in Joshua is very important. If you remember, turn me to Joshua, the first chapter. I made a statement earlier when we first started talking about imagination that there's a difference between dreams and fantasy. And I began to talk about how a fantasy has no beginning point. You don't have no starting point. A dream always has a starting point. I think the principle that we stumbled upon, the revelation we stumbled upon last class, with Joshua and Moses, I want to say, and I am saying, that meditating the words of your leader will give you the starting point to your dream. All right? Will give you the starting points to your dream. Now, just to recap it, we was in Joshua, the first chapter, the 8th verse. It says, this book, very specifically, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein, what?
Day and night.
Day and night. Then what's going to happen? Thou mayest observe, to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make that way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. All right? It says very specifically, this book of the law. And we pose the question, what book of the law? If you go back to the 7th verse, God speaking, right? Speaking to Joshua and told Joshua, the commandments that I gave Moses that he spoke to you all, don't turn from the left or don't turn to the right. Then he went to the 8th verse and said, this book referring to the law that God had given Moses, that Moses gave to them. For as Joshua was concerned, thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's put ourselves in Joshua's shoes. All right. Now, Joshua wasn't hearing from God. Joshua was hearing from Moses. Right. So watch this. Joshua, as he was hearing from Moses, was taking the words of Moses and living by them. All right. It wasn't until God spoke to him and said, what I've been telling Moses to tell y'all, I want you to do the same thing, that he realized that it was God talking to him. Right. Are you seeing this? So what I'm saying, we have to take, and once again, let me prelude. We talked about last year, we talked about the lines of honor of men, how we don't come into covenant quickly with anybody. One of the things that you look for in a leader is a track record. It's a history. Experiences with God. The reason why Jonathan was able to commit and give up everything he had to David is because David had a track record. He saw David walk into the camp when everybody else was scared and kill Goliath, including his daddy. Saul was scared. David walked in and killed Goliath. So he understood that there must have been something with David that wasn't with everybody else. So David had a track record. So he was able to give up everything he had in the defense and in the furtherance of David's agenda. All right. So my point for saying it is, you can't quickly come in a covenant with just any leader. It has to be somebody with a track record, with experiences with God, that has produced results in their lives. Here's why. Because the principle works that God speaks to our leaders and our leader speaks to us. And God expounds on what our leader says to us. I hope y'all grab that. God speaks to our leaders. Leaders gives us directives and God expounds on the directives that our leaders give. So now it makes it very important that we connect to a leader that has God's ear, that has God's hand upon him, upon her, that has a grace upon them. Just because Do you realize between Malachi and the book of Matthews, it was over 400 years that God didn't speak? Why? He had nobody to speak through. So just because you can't find a leader that has experience with God, that has results in their lives, doesn't mean that God is going to bypass his plan for you or bypass his principles for you. The first thing that God always does to a born-again, new-born-again Christian or to a Christian is connect them to somebody that has already been where they're trying to go. That's how God works. That's how he works. He doesn't work in it. Why? The main principle of the apostolic, or the main attribute, or the main foundation of the apostolic is accountability. God never releases his power without you being held accountable. God anointed Saul to be king. Saul had to be accountable to Samuel. He wasn't. Because he wasn't accountable to Samuel, God stripped him of that right. God never lets anybody walk in the earth realm without being accountable to somebody. God does not release his ability on anyone that's not willing to be held accountable. Are you hearing me? David, in his lowest point in his life, was held accountable by the prophet Nathan. But you see, I want you to see this. Do you understand why God trusted David so much? Because when he was held accountable, David turned his face to God and repented. He wasn't full of pride and ego. I'm the man. I'm the king. He turned his face to God and repented. That's why God was able to trust him. So my point is, that's the way God works. God speaks through men and women to give directives to those who follow, and then God will expound upon those directives. Do we understand this? So now, if that's the case, then that means my destiny is in my man or woman of God's mouth. So watch this. If my destiny is in their mouth, because a precedent was set with Joshua and Moses. God told Moses, don't look to the left, don't look to the right. This book, what I was telling Moses to tell y'all to do, this is what I want you to focus on. Now in that sixth chapter, when it was time for him to step into his leadership role and lead the children of Israel into Jericho, the land that God had been promising them, he had to have been meditating what Moses said in order for him to see how Jericho was going to be conquered. If he had not been meditating what Moses said, he would have never saw God giving them Jericho. Is it possible for us to see and to say that if we don't meditate the words of our leader, we'll never see our destiny unfold? Let me ask you this. Why else would God connect you to this person? It's no other reason for God to connect you to this person, only to unleash the destiny that God had designed for you. I hope this is making sense. So your imagination, your dreams are going to be unlocked as you meditate the words of your leader. Now, I'm saying that very, very, you can't tell this to everybody because I don't know all leaders. So in this small, confined class, in this controlled environment, I can say that with the explanation you understanding that I'm connected to a leader that has experience with God, that has proven God out, I see God's hand is upon them. So in other words, God has done some special things for them that I hadn't seen him do for anybody else. Y'all get what I'm saying? So therefore, I know that they have God's ear. They have God's heart. So when God talks to them and they speak, I can trust that they're speaking on the behalf of God in my life. So now when I take those words and meditate those words, then my imagination and my destiny can become unfolded. Not only will it become unfolded, but now I will begin to understand and grasp the steps it takes for me to walk into that destiny. That making sense? Go to John. I think it's the 6th chapter. John 6th chapter and the 63rd verse. This is Jesus talking, and we can see the same principles that the same thing Jesus saying, we can see it happen in the life of Joshua. Watch this. Verse 63, it said, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So here is Jesus saying, he's speaking in a very present moment. He's talking to the group of people, his disciples that are around. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Otherwise, I don't need you focusing on nothing else. So I take that same principle and apply it to Joshua. The words that I speak unto you, the words that Moses spoke unto them, they are spirit and they are life. We use that same principle in today's time, in our lives. The words that our leaders speak to us. Now watch this now. It is the spirit that makes them alive. It's not so much the sentences that they are saying. It's the spirit that is behind what they're saying. This is why you can't be behind no whole mugging leader. Because they got to have the spirit. They got to be holy. Listen a minute. They got to have the Holy Spirit working in their lives. Because it's the spirit that quickeneth. The words that they speak to us, they are spirit and they are life. How many times you can witness this? You might not have seen it in this way, but you're going to see it this way. And now that you've learned in this, you're going to begin to look for it. It's one thing to accidentally come upon something. It's another thing when you're on purpose looking for it. How many times in your life have you been in church or a church setting with your man or woman of God and they said the exact thing you needed to hear to give you resolution to a situation you was dealing with?
Amen.
That's John 6:63. All right. When they spoke that word and it was clear as day to you, why you ain't go looking nowhere else? Because that was, that's, ain't no sense looking nowhere else. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So now we have to, on purpose, be looking for this. That's how our imagination expands. That's how our destinies are unfolded. God said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. But he never said how he's going to get it to us.
Right.
See, some people think they can bypass his principles and use that scripture. No. God ain't releasing none of his thoughts to you until you're willing to be held accountable. Nothing happens outside the apostolic. Nothing. Everything that tries to happen out the apostolic, God brings it to a naught. Do I have proof? Yes. Genesis the 6th chapter. We went over this. Genesis the 11th chapter, actually. When they tried to build that Tower of Babel. That was outside the apostolic. What God did? Confused their language. Put a stop to it. Shut it down. Saul was supposed to meet up with Samuel and let Samuel give the burnt offerings as the priest. Saul got nervous, couldn't wait. So he offered the burnt offering himself. Samuel said, Samuel got there, Samuel, what was you doing? He said, you ain't ever showed up, so I thought I'd do it. Samuel said, no, you got to stay in your place. It was for me to do the burnt offerings and you to receive the burnt offerings that I set before God. Saul got rejected. Are you seeing this? So God is not going to release his thoughts to a person that is not willing to be held accountable, which means you will not have any type of imagination. You will have no dreams. You will only have fantasies unless you're willing to be held accountable. Nothing happens outside of the apostolic. That's why I'm so excited that Apostle invited business people to the LTMA Impartation Conference, because we got to get this straight. Ain't no business going to be trying to use God principle outside of the apostolic. It's just not going to happen. That's why business people, they get to a certain level and they can't go no further. Why? Because it's not apostolic. It's not. They're not connected to somebody that will hold them accountable. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So the imagination, our imagination will only expand. Let's say this. Our imagination will only expand as we meditate the words of our leader. We can say that with full authority now. It's been biblically proven. We prove this out. Without our leaders speaking into our lives, we have nothing to chew on that will cause our imagination to expand, to cause our destinies to be unfolded. It was because Joshua meditated, because Joshua didn't turn from the left or the right of the commandments of Moses. He meditated them. How often he meditated them?
Day and night.
That means Sunday morning. Whatever your pastor taught on Sunday morning, by Sunday evening, you ought to have it planned somewhere. Mm-hmm. You ought to be going, sometimes you ought to go to sleep with it on. Do you know you're still conscious when you sleep?
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? You go to sleep with it on. That's how dreams are developed. Do you realize, here's one thing that impresses me the most about Solomon. Solomon was so in tune to God that even in his sleep state, he was able to correctly answer God.
Come on
now. Even when he was asleep, he was able to answer God properly. Mm-hmm. Let me show you how difficult that is. How many times have you been dreaming that you're running toward a cliff and you're trying to stop and you can't stop? And you just jumped on off. How many have had that dream before? Or how many times have you been in a situation where you've been dreaming something, you were trying to stop whatever it was, and you couldn't stop it? All that is displaying is how much you're not in control when you sleep. But here it is, a man that in his sleep was able to answer God properly, and based on his dreams, he got up giving, and God said, I'm gonna do it for you.
Yes.
That only comes when you have your conscience so in tune to God that it doesn't matter what scenario you're in, you're gonna answer him right.
Yes, sir.
That means you top to bottom, left to right, full of God. The only way you can get like that is when you meditate day and night. So even in your imagination, you're able to answer God properly. How many see this? So Joshua, in that sixth chapter, had to see God giving them Jericho. He was not able to see God giving them Jericho unless he was standing on a foundation that had convinced him that it was possible. By meditating what Moses had said, put him on a foundation for which he could see them getting Jericho. And God did the rest. See, even in some of our destinies, it's not going to be us doing it. It's God which will through us to do of his good pleasure. It's not going to be us doing it. We almost going to be like going through the motions. But it's going to be God working through us. How many see this? So your imagination is important. 2 Corinthians 10th chapter. Your imagination, I said this before, I need to repeat it again. Your imagination will never be in neutral. Either you're going to use it or the devil going to use it. It's not going to be in neutral. Either, and whatever is in your imagination will manifest itself. Whatever. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. We almost finished. Second Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Verse 6, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now watch this now. The Apostle Paul is sitting telling us that we casting down imaginations and every thought or high thing that exalts itself against the what?
Knowledge
of God. What are our leaders teaching to us when they open their mouths?
Knowledge.
The knowledge of God. So if I don't take that knowledge and use it to bring down every other imagination that's trying to lodge its place in my mindset. So I take what I'm being taught, meditate on it, and it brings down everything that tries to exalt itself against what I've been told.
My God.
So now, when I meditate, what my leader is saying, because my leader is teaching me what? The knowledge of God. When I begin to meditate that, I now become empowered to deal with every negative thought that comes my direction. If I don't meditate it, I'm not empowered. Because a negative thought just don't go away. Negative thoughts just don't go away. And we get thoughts all day long. Thoughts coming at us from all directions. Thoughts coming at us from co-workers. Thoughts coming at us from family members. Thoughts coming to us from the TV. Do you know that advertisement is meant to throw thoughts at you?
That's right.
Do you know people get sick watching commercials? Could they watch all those prescription commercials? Do you know they throwing at you? They really telling you, hey, just in case you have this, this is what you can take. So now in the back of your subconscious, that's lies there. And if you ain't meditating the word of God, Romans, now this makes sense. Go to Romans 12. Now this makes sense. Now this makes sense. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now this about to even make more sense to you. And be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So by us meditating, we're not conforming to the world. We're conforming to who God has. We're conforming to the thoughts of God that he has already been thinking about us. So when we meditate, we're able to deal with those negative thoughts. Your mind, your imagination is not going to be neutral. Either you're going to imagine your destiny or you're going to imagine your demise. But you're going to do one or the other. So you can either let God and his knowledge paint the picture for your imagination, or you can let Satan and his evil paint the imagination he has for you. Back to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Now we bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So now is you must look at the word of God and the knowledge of God, and you meditate in it. You must see it as concrete. I don't know if some of you guys in here ever had to chip up concrete. That ain't no joke. You got to chip up concrete. You take a pick and you got to chip it up. I mean, whenever you're doing a driveway, you want to pour a driveway, you got to break off some concrete. You got to chip some of that concrete out the way so you can get it formed right, so it look neat. So you tell you got to chip it, but you got to chip at it. You got to chip at it hard. Well, what happens when you meditate the word of God, it becomes concrete. So that when negative thoughts come in, it's not so easily to take hold. You have to go days and weeks without meditating before them negative thoughts be able to take hold. But if you meditate on a daily basis, day and night, you're forming, the word of God is forming a concrete. It's forming like concrete in your heart. You're not turning from the left, or you're not turning from the right. So now you can bring into captivity. Other words, when the thoughts come in, it can't take root because there's no room for it. It can't displace the word of God, because the word of God has become so solidly rooted in your heart, in your mind, in your imagination, that anything that comes along that say this is not going to happen, you immediately say, yes, it is going to happen. Or anything that ain't supposed to happen, something come along and say, yeah, it is going to happen. You say, no, it ain't going to happen, because you're fully convinced. This is what Jesus meant. This is what Jesus meant in Mark, the 9th chapter, the 23rd verse. He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. He said, if you can believe, if this word becomes concrete on the inside of you, then it's possible. In other words, if you could be fully convinced, in the words of Paul in Romans, the 4th chapter, fully persuaded. Abraham was fully persuaded. Once you become fully, how you get fully persuaded? You don't get fully persuaded by just thinking about it for 5 minutes. Right. You don't get fully persuaded by, I'm going to pick on somebody now. Lynette didn't become fully persuaded because Calvin came to her house one time. She didn't become fully persuaded. He was the one. He had to keep on coming and keep on coming. I had to keep on coming to Cynthia. I had to keep on until I convinced her I'm the one. She became fully persuaded. That's the word of God. The word of God, you have to let the word of God pound on your heart and pound on your heart. You have to keep meditating until you become fully persuaded. That's when your imagination is being built. Are you seeing this? See, without meditation, I thank God for, at least in my life, I thank God for my leader. I thank God for Apostle, because, see, you have to be thankful for somebody that is in constant pursuit of God. Mm-hmm. Moses was in constant pursuit of God. That's what made it so easy for Joshua. See, he was in constant pursuit of God. Moses cut down timber that Joshua ain't never had to face. All Joshua had to do was keep focus on what Moses said. And oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. And the results that Moses had already planted for Joshua was receiving. Are you seeing this? Pounding the word of God, letting it pound your heart. Meditate on it. I know everything vying for your attention. Everything is reaching for your attention. The radio, the TV, the ball game, this reaching for your attention. Other people reaching, gossip reaching for your attention. If you decide to take some of that time and begin to meditate what your leader is saying. The message they preach to you on Sunday, the message they preach to you on Wednesday, whatever else they put out of their mouth towards you. When you take time to meditate those things, you're now building, you're now unfolding your destiny. You're creating a barrier in your imagination that Satan can't override. Abraham was fully persuaded. There was nothing that can happen that can tell him that he wasn't going to have a son. There was nothing nobody could say. Being fully persuaded. Now, the thing about being fully persuaded, when you become fully persuaded, it's easier to hear instructions. Why is it easy to hear instructions? Because you're anticipating. You're looking for. You're capable of receiving. It's pretty much... One of the reasons why you say, well, we haven't covered that chapter yet. Why are we having an open book exam on that chapter? We haven't covered that chapter yet. Why are we going to have an open book exam on that chapter? Well, the reason why is because there's a letter grade on the line, right, for you reading that chapter, right? So that means you're going to read it. Yes, sir. So that means the following class we come through and I say, I'm going to teach on chapter whatever it is, chapter 7. You're going to receive more of what I'm going to say. Why? Because you have already. So everything I come and talk about now, when I begin to expound on it, is easy to understand. Instead of us having to pour foundation first, then build on it. You laid the foundation. Now we just building on it. Are you seeing this? So that's what happens when you let the word of God. And you meditate, you let it pound, let it shape your thinking, let it shape your heart, let it shape how you say things, let it shape how you feel. When it does those things, it's easier for you to pick up revelation. It is easier for you to discover those, what is in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, I had not seen, ear had not heard, neither has entered the heart of man, the things that God has prepare for them, for those that love him. But verse 10, but it is what? Revealed unto us by the what? Spirit. So when you've been meditating those things, you're able to grab those deep secrets from God. You're able to grab those peculiar instructions that the march around the wall and the hollering on the seventh time and the walls fall inward. That came from Joshua meditate. So the victory is in your life. going to come from you meditating the words of your leaders. Y'all have a good night.